The first and most important point is that the government has the right and indeed the responsibility to regulate the activities of international and national NGOs. And the NGOs and the humanitarian community want a responsive dialogue with the government and affected communities on the distribution of assistance. That means both sides need to respect and respond to the concerns of the other side.
Yes, and what are the concerns of the U.S. government in this NGO bill particularly?
Shevitt William, your listeners will recall the vital role of Operation Lifeline Sudan, which was started by the international community in 1989 and supported the people of South Sudan throughout the war with the North. And that was an extraordinarily important experience for the international humanitarian community. That is where the principles of humanitarian delivery were established. And those principles are that aid must be distributed to people in need. And you can't use politics or race or ethnicity or any other basis to discriminate in the distribution of aid. And based on the experience in Sudan, the United Nations General Assembly adopted these principles as best practice. So what we want to see are those best practices applied here in southern Sudan.
Yes, and now with this NGO bill passed and is going to the president, in case it is signed into law, what difficulties will the NGOs face?
Well, the concern is that the language in the legislation is so broad, gives so much authority, that there is a possibility that that authority could be misused and result in aid not going directly to the people who are most vulnerable. And that's the concern of the many NGOs with whom the United States works directly, as well as the many national NGOs with whom big groups like UNICEF, WFP work with, and whom receive large amounts of American assistance to make their work possible.
Yes, of course, we understand both the local and international NGOs provide key services in South Sudan. Now, what needs to be done to facilitate the activities?
What needs to be done in the short term is to establish a good dialogue, as I said before, where each side responds to the concerns of the other. The government has reasonable concerns about involving South Sudanese in the work of NGOs. And of course, South Sudanese play a very important role in delivery of assistance, and that should continue. And as I said, it's important to have an appropriate regulatory framework, but what we want to guard against are the kinds of abuses we saw during the period of Operation Lifeline Sudan. In the long term, the most important thing to stop this crisis, to stop the suffering of the people of South Sudan and their requirement to receive aid from the international community. And the best way to stop that crisis is for there to be an immediate formation of the transitional government of national unity and an energetic effort to implement the provisions of the peace agreement. This is the best way forward for the people of South Sudan, and that's what we're working hard to support.
Yes, talking about the formation of the transitional government of national unity, is the U.S. concerned that it's taking quite some time now?
Absolutely. We share the concern of the people of South Sudan. We are more than 3 months behind the initial deadline. And it's important for every leader of South Sudan to figure out each day how they can become part of the solution, how they can contribute to speeding up the formation. And why is the formation important? Because it means all the leaders of South Sudan are sitting together with their sleeves rolled up, working hard to fix the economic problems, the national security problems, and to discuss the vision for the future of the country.
Yes, Ambassador, just yesterday a report was released, the IPC report, that estimates 2.8 million people in South Sudan, that's around 23% of the population, will face acute food and nutrition insecurity between January and March. I mean, with this report, what role will the U.S. do in trying to support the people in South Sudan?
Well, this is an opportunity for me to affirm, to restate the commitment of the American people and the American government to the people of South Sudan. We have been friends and supporters since the days of Operation Lifeline Sudan, and we will continue to try and help the people of South Sudan who are in need. And those numbers are really scary, Sebit Williams. Whether it's 2 million or 5 million, it's too many people. And everybody has to work harder to change this situation for the better.
Ambassador, thank you for talking to us. Any final remarks that you'd like to leave us with here in the program this morning?
I just want to commend the work of Radio Mariah for educating the public about these important issues.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Have a great day.